The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are you doing today, Big
JD? Doing good.
Glad to hear that.
How are you?
I'm good. We had a little bit of a rest there. We skipped a couple weeks.
We did.
I was away.
Because Lippo went on vacation.
Yeah, I went away. So we are unable to do a show. We probably
Lippo
could have
had
did
to
a
go
show.
Away for a little while.
Yes. 12-step program, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you learning to dance?
No, no dancing.
Where'd you go?
I went to Betty Ford.
Oh, she's still around?
No, but her addiction clinic in, where is that at? Arizona?
Oh, geez.
Or is it in California?
I think it's in California. You went to San Francisco.
The area. Went to the Bay Area. That's what people there call it, the Bay Area, which includes Silicon Valley, San Francisco proper, the city. Then there's wine country north of that. Like
Oakland. So Silicon Valley, is that where women go to get...
Silicon.
Large?
Oh, okay. Silicon, not silicone.
Silicon. And yeah. What does that even mean?
Silicon, that's what they make motherboards with.
Silicone.
No, it's not silicone head.
Remember the cone heads? Saturday Night
Dan
Live
Aykroyd
thing, right?
And I'm not going to remember the other person, was it?
Geez, I can't remember. Was it Chevy Chase? No.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
It might have been Chevy Chase. Anyway.
There was a whole family of them, though.
There was, yeah.
Jane?
Curtin?
Curtin, yeah.
Yeah, she was one
I
of
wanted
them.
I wanted to say Purton.
Dick's daughter.
Yeah, who's Dick?
Dick Purton is a...
Oh, my God, who's Dick? Purton.
Dick.
Wasn't
Dick
he a news guy?
Hurton Burton. No, he was one of the top paid DJs on WWJ. Yeah.
Dick Purton in the morning.
Yeah. He was the morning guy, for
well,
sure.
We're talking about Dick Purton in the morning, because this is the morning show.
No, we're talking...
Big JD and Lippo,
who are we talking
Big
about
JD
today?
And... Huh?
We're talking about Frank Sinatra today.
Oh, is that what's going on in the show today?
That's our topic for this week's show.
Okay.
So we're going
to... play along.
You're going to play, like, guitar or sing along? What are
no,
you
doing? No. Well, I could sing some Sinatra.
Because we do have... we got a bunch of Frank lined up.
We
the guy,
do.
The guy's awesome. He had a million hits and... we're going to talk about his life, the movies he was in, and his recording career in general. But
what?
Back to the reason that we weren't here.
Oh, yeah, your trip to San Francisco.
Yeah,
tell
yeah.
me. Let's, yeah.
We just went to Mason. It was mostly wine country tripping up and down the coast and redwood forests and lots of wineries. And then we went to San Francisco, actually, to go see a band that's from across the river here, Detroit. Uh-huh. And they're called Frontier Ruckus.
Okay.
There was a band, I think they're actually out of Orion Township. But
didn't I see you with somebody else there, from the Famous or something?
Well, the Famous dude, yeah. My buddy Lawrence Scott, he was also there. He was his idea to meet me at that specific bar. He lives in Silicon Valley. And he came up to the city and we met there. And he took me into his... car and
to his arms and
no he went out into his car during in the middle of the night and he wanted me to preview one of the songs that's going to be on the new Famous album.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good. This guy's a perfectionist though, so I expect
Famous.
I would never expect anything less out of him, that's for sure. And his guitar player is a
Famous
he's in the band the Famous as well. He works for Tesla. He's the web guy. You go to Tesla.com. That is his work. I'm trying to think of his name right now. I'm drawing a blank. Vincent. Is it Vincent? It's got a weird name. So, yeah, Famous. TheFamous.net. Awesome music. I'd highly suggest anybody go check it out. They're really good. Lawrence has a very unique voice, and it lends well to the kind of music that they do. Did you see that Kiss performed in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade in New York?
No.
I mean, it was all obviously a, what do they call that? A lip-synced event. They're just on a...
bass-synced event.
They, so obviously Gene was in his element, right?
He was probably the only one playing, actually. They actually plugged him in.
No, there was nothing to plug
I'm
into.
I'm sure there wasn't.
So they had, they're playing rock and roll all night, party every day. And they're on a trailer, multi-level trailer, nothing too fancy. And
I wonder how that sounded, though, at all.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what it's even cranking out of.
That's pretty cool, though, that Kiss played in the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Okay.
The brand Kiss. So, yeah, they weren't plugged into anything.
Mm-hmm.
But and the song was coming out, but their vocal mics, they were out there. So in between stuff.
You could talk. Or
you could sing every, like just before the chorus. Yeah, everybody sing along. So you knew it had a live feel to it, but otherwise they were just lip syncing. And drum syncing, which I have to imagine the drums got to bleed through, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. Or he might be off if he's, you know, depending on how he gets to hear that through ear monitor or something.
But I'm thinking he's hearing it through.
But even still, I mean, a lot of drummers aren't right on.
Who's playing drums for Kiss right now?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. I know it's that Thayer guy on guitar playing Ace's part, but I don't know who is playing the part of Peter Criss. But I just thought it was interesting that Kiss, and he said that they got screwed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on Twitter he tweeted, I think we all got screwed and it was a shame how we were all presented. Because right at the beginning of the song, the cameras was up at the at some kid's float, like a Pikachu kind of thing.
Pikachu?
Pikachu! Anyway, you got a piece of news?
Well, just on the tail end of that, Paul Stanley says that Kiss was screwed over at the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Is that the words he used?
I don't know if that's his words or what, but
bet you he got paid. Bet you they got paid.
He says that his band was, that's what he says, screwed over and misled by the executive in charge of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and that both the group and their fans deserved better from the event. Stanley doesn't go into detail about his complaints, but a look at the video that was put out there from the Thanksgiving Day Parade makes it seem like a rough gig for anyone involved.
Yeah, which, it was raining and snowing. And
Paul Stanley playing in his trench coat.
He wasn't playing in his trench coat. He was playing in a fur long coat.
Anyway, he didn't like it.
No, it was probably a bad, one of those bad decisions that they made.
Yeah, well.
Did they ever play at the Super Bowl?
I didn't think Gene Simmons made bad decisions. Did they play at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know.
I'll say they did.
Hmm.
But that was more of a controlled situation.
Yeah, probably.
Whereas on the
trailer. Where they really had to sing.
Well, it's typical of parades, isn't it? I mean,
that's to be expected, I guess, to do that. And I think it's cool anyway, no matter what they did. I mean, Kiss at the Thanksgiving Day Parade is cool anyway, no matter how you look at it, I think.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool.
The makeup was dead on.
And just lastly, I want to say that 40 years ago, Deep Purple reached the end of an era with their album Stormbringer.
Okay.
And
what was the deal with that?
6 months prior to that, I believe, is when they switched singers and bass players from Gillan and Glover to Coverdale and Hughes. And then at this point, they were done again because...
Blackmore said cyanide.
Yeah.
And he went on to form Rainbow after this, correct? After that album?
When he left for Rainbow, yeah.
Right. But he came back and recorded other...
And he did come back, too, for a while. And then he went and did his Blackmore's Night thing.
Yeah.
With the girl. I don't know.
With the girl.
Her name.
Okay.
But it was cool stuff, too.
Sure was.
Blackmore's Night. Oh, that's what he does now. It's really good.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about Frank Sinatra and... to lead us into today's awesome topic and the first of, I guess we're going to call it a showcase episode, where we just showcase one artist or a band and play their music, talk about their musical career and, you know, what it is about them that makes them showcaseable.
Okay.
So what's the first one we're going to listen to now?
Try a Little Tenderness.
In the hustle of the day, we're all inclined to miss little things that mean so much, a word, a smile, and a kiss. When a woman loves a man, he's a hero in her eyes, and a hero he can always be if he'll just realize. She may be weary, women do get weary, wearing the same shabby dress. And when she's weary, try a little tenderness. She may be waiting, just anticipating things she may never possess. While she's without them, try a little tenderness. It's not just sentimental, she has her grief and her care, and a word that's soft and gentle makes it easier to bear. You won't regret it. Women don't forget it. Love is their whole happiness. And it's all so easy. Try a little tenderness.
If that didn't wake you up this morning.
Yeah. But that's way different than the version that...
anybody else does.
Try a little tenderness. We actually did that tune.
Really?
My band did that tune, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the who does that? Otis Redding? I want to say it's Otis Redding.
Doesn't does Steppenwolf do that?
Oh, maybe.
I think they do it, yeah.
Okay. But the version that was huge cool, for me was Otis Redding, I think.
Otis.
But where do you want to start the conversation with Frank?
Well, let's start where he was from.
He was from Hoboken, where the hobos come from, right? So he was a hobo?
No.
What do you call people who are from Hoboken?
Hobos.
Hobokenites?
Hobokens. Hobokens.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. You end up saying the name of the city. So they're hobos? Is that what they call them? I wonder where that came from.
Hobes.
H-O-B's.
He's a
hobe. H-O-B's.
Yeah.
House of Blues.
Let's listen to some more Frank Sinatra.
All right.
I've got you under my skin. This one goes out to Lippo.
Thank you. I've got you under my skin. I have got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I've tried so not to give in, and I
said to myself, this affair, it never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well that I've got you under my skin? I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night. It repeats, repeats in my ear, but you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. And each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin, 'cause I've got you under my skin. Run for cover, run and hide. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night. It repeats how it yells in my ear, but you know, you fool, there ain't no chance to win. Why not choose your mentality, wake up, step up to reality. Thought of you makes me stop just before I begin, because I've got you under my skin. Yeah, you grab me under my skin.
That's some classic Sinatra right there, Under My Skin.
That's very classic, yes.
Cool stuff. And live to boot.
Live to boot.
Yeah.
Did he ever record that song in a studio? Probably.
Oh, yeah. Everything was recorded in the studio.
You think so?
He did so many covers. That's when things are really live, man. When you have orchestras in there, too, like while you're actually recording. That's crazy.
Do you think that's what they did?
Oh, I know they did it a lot, yeah.
They record live off the floor with vocals.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Because he wanted to feel the band with him, I would assume.
Maybe they didn't, you know, they weren't so into multi-tracking.
Well, they did have four tracks to work with, right? Or did they?
I'm sure they.
Or was it just left?
Capability of it.
Did they? I don't know. Well, who's the dude? Les Paul. We did a show on Les Paul.
Right.
Wasn't that last show?
Was it?
I don't remember.
It certainly may have been.
Yeah, it's a very recent show that we talked about Les Paul.
We talked about him, but it wasn't. What was the show on?
Les Paul.
No, we didn't do a show on Les Paul.
Oh, no, we didn't.
It was probably the country thing.
You're right.
Yeah.
We probably should have did a show on Les Paul.
Oh, we should. Absolutely.
And what's his wife's
name? We got to do 10 a year.
Mary Ford.
Les Paul, Peter Paul, and Mary Ford.
Mary Ford. That's it. He was born December 12th, so his birthday's coming up. 1915 in Hoboken, New Jersey. The only child of an Italian immigrant family, Natalina and Antonio. Raised, of course, Roman Catholic. In his book, Try and Stop Me, American publisher and writer Bennett Cerf says that Sinatra's father was a lightweight boxer who fought under the name Marty O'Brien and served with the Hoboken Fire Department as the captain. So his dad was a...
fire captain.
He was a fire captain and he was...
A boxer.
A boxer, so...
It's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's very neat, I think. Because if you can actually make a living doing that kind of stuff, that's awesome.
Do you know what kind of voice he had? What his range was?
Mr. Sinatra?
Yeah. He was a baritone.
Okay, so what was his range?
I don't know what his actual range was, but that was, he was baritone range.
Well,
so we were talking about
baritone range.
Baritone range, yeah. So I don't know what that, you know, specifically the actual range.
Because some people can, you know, be a baritone right up to a tenor.
Well, yeah. Look at the singer from Judas Priest. Seven octave?
Is he a seven octave guy? He
was, yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
The singer from Judas Priest.
Yeah.
His name is Rob Halford.
Thank you. I call him Bob.
Do you? Or is that what you tell him to do?
That's good. What do you mean by that, anyway?
Onward with Frank. His mother, also known as Dolly. Why, it's like they're trying to hide their Italian...
why would that be?
I think Italians were looked down upon. It's the same with the Irish people. Back in the early part of the 20th century, I think that's what happened. Italians and Irish people were... I don't know, they had their squams, squimishes, whatever you want to call them. She was influential in the neighborhood in local Democratic Party circles, so she was in politics. Sinatra left high school without graduating. He was a dumb bunny. Having attended only 47 days before being expelled because of his rowdy conduct. He was a badass.
See, kids, you don't have to go to school to be a superstar.
No, you don't. That's absolutely true. And I think it's becoming more true nowadays because of the relevance of the way kids are taught stuff these days and what they're actually going to need to know in the real world.
But stay in school.
Yes, don't. You never heard it here that we don't want you to stay in school. In 1938, he was arrested for adultery and seduction, a criminal offense at the time. I was going to say that. What kind of... half the population would be in jail if that was the case. But anyway, we're going to listen to another tune, and this is
I Get a Kick Out of You.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol, it doesn't move me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? Some like the bop type refrain. I'm sure that if I heard even one riff, 'twould bore me terrifically too. Yet I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick in a plane, flying too high with some gal in the sky is my idea of nothing to do. Yet I get a kick out of you. Get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously do not adore me. I get no kick in a plane,
flying too high with some gal in the sky is my idea of nothing to do. Yet I get a kick, yes, I get a kick, yes, I get a kick out of you.
That's an awesome tune. He's swinging, boy. Big time.
Yes,
and played with great, great people, too. Like Duke Ellington and Count Basie. All those great swinging.
Yeah, and we're actually going to talk about two of those.
And he never wrote anything, either.
Never wrote anything?
I don't know that he wrote any of his songs, actually.
I have looked at songwriting
But a credits. Lot of them, they were written for him, though.
Oh, for sure. You know what I mean? I haven't seen anything written by him, either. And I'm looking at... songwriting credits to see if I could find anything.
Yeah, no, I don't.
For his livelihood, he worked as a delivery boy at the Jersey Observer newspaper and later as a riveter at the Tietgen and Lang shipyard. But music was Sinatra's main interest, and he listened carefully to big band jazz. That was his thing. We have the Beatles. Swinging. Yeah. He began singing for tips at the age of 8, standing on the top of a bar at a local nightclub in Hoboken. And he began singing professionally as a teenager in the 1930s, although he learned music by ear. You don't learn music by ear. And never learned how to read music.
You don't learn music by ear? What?
I don't think you learn music. I think it's just something you have.
Well.
I mean, actually knowing this is an E.
Yeah, but you got to learn stuff. Learn music somehow. Learn kind of how to sing and whatnot, no?
That's a good point. And we actually did a show on something along those.
You might have music in you, but you got to learn how to play an instrument or something, right. You know, kind of thing. Even if it's by ear.
One in every 10,000 men have perfect pitch. And that's what learning music by ear really is.
Do we have that?
Or learning by ear, I guess that can be construed as different things.
Can you learn by your ear?
I can learn by my rear. I think a lot of people learn music by ear. I was confusing it with perfect pitch, which is they're not even related, actually. Learning music by ear is not having to know much about time signatures and
no, but same with the other way. Somebody might have perfect pitch, but they might not be really a great singer, or the phrasing might be bad, or they might not be able to, I don't know. Does it mean you can carry a tune because you have perfect pitch? Not necessarily.
I don't know. It's a really good question. I'd like to get into that. But before we get into that, let's get into this, which is another tune by Frankie Baby, and it's...
Don't You Go Away Mad.
Just Go Away.
I must confess what you say is true. I had a rendezvous with somebody new. That's the only one I ever had. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Cheating shows and it never goes. You got a reason to be mad, I suppose. But she only was a passing fad. Baby, don't you be mad. Her kind's a dime a dozen, and that's not the kind I want. Who'd ever dream your cousin would wander into that restaurant? I understand that you feel upset. What do you say that you forgive and forget? Come on and kiss me just to show you're glad. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Thank you.
I should have passed her by. Who'd ever dream your cousin would come along and give us the eye? I understand that you feel upset. What do you say that you forgive and forget? Come on and kiss me just to show you're glad. Baby, don't you go away mad. Understand that you're quite upset. What do you say that you forgive and forget? Come on and kiss me just to show you're glad. Baby, 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 baby. Don't you go away mad. Now don't you go away mad.
Cheating shows and it never goes.
He was good at singing at very low volumes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times you
and
have...
And high, too, though.
Oh, for sure. And
did it all.
When you sing, if you sing for real, if you're a real singer, singing, you usually got to belt it to really... to put all your emotion into it. But he was able to get down and really sing and keep it together. I
fully agree with it, but...
Oh, you think you can whisper and sing?
Sure.
And sound good?
Mm-hmm. Take your can off.
No. Don't whisper in my ear, please. Of course, Frank Sinatra, he started... Well, his first group he was in was called the Three Flashes, and the way that he got into that was because his mom talked the band into letting him in. So obviously the Three Flashes couldn't be the Three Flashes anymore. They were the Hoboken Four. And that group of guys ended up going on the Major Bowes Amateur Hour, which I remember listening to the Tonight Show and hear about this Major Bowes Amateur Hour, how a lot of people made their way by first appearing on this show. Mm-hmm. He was one of them. They attracted 4,000 votes, won first prize, 6-month contract, blah, blah, blah. And he ended up going back home and making $15 a week at the Rustic Cabin in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. And so they had that gig, which $15 a week back then, I bet you was a good chunk of cash.
Probably.
Not compared to what he was about to make, but... So he did a demo with the Frank Main Band, and it was that demo that Harry James, who was a big band guy, who had a lot of popularity, and he hired him on. Harry James hired Frank Sinatra based on this demo of Our Love, and that was $75 a week, that contract.
Remember that movie, When Harry Met Frank? Sounds like a pretty good movie to me.
So the deal is, he had a contract, 1-year contract with Harry James. Mm-hmm. But
Dorsey, played with Dorsey.
Well, this is the story I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Dorsey hears about him, because Harry and Tommy Dorsey, they're both big band guys and are touring all over the country, whatever. So Dorsey asked Frank to join his band in Chicago, 9 months into the Harry James contract. And of course, Harry James could have said, no, he's under contract. And that kind of stuff went on all the time. But Harry James let him go, let him out of the contract. And he signed a contract with Dorsey. And so anyway, Frank's always gave credit to Harry James for letting him go. Because mm-hmm. he said, without that happening, I may not be as big as I am now. So Dorsey signed a contract with him. And in that contract, it said that Tommy Dorsey would make 1/3 of Frank Sinatra's lifetime earnings. Mm. And obviously, he couldn't get out of that. So that's where the rumors and theories came about of Frank's connection with the mob. So people say that the mob paid off Tommy Dorsey to get to get him out of the contract. And then that started Frank's career... a solo career, and it was supported by the mafia, basically. So we're gonna take care of you because you're one of the good guys.
Hey Joey,
coming to you from the Windsor Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
B
big JD Frank Sinatra trivia for you.
Let's hear it.
Did you know that Frank Sinatra had some kind of a mark on his left side of his head, his temple, because of the way he was pulled out with forceps?
Forceps, yes.
I think they used those too. That was the problem.
Forceps. Are they like turnips?
No.
So yeah, he had this forceps. Mark on his head.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And?
And that's it.
Oh, that's the piece of trivia.
An indentation there, some kind. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of people had that.
Trivia for you.
I don't think they...
I don't know. I wasn't pulled out like that.
No, I think they try everything they can not to do that, and they think it's going to be like that. They take you out of the belly.
That's probably a little white lie, but here's some more Sinatra.
The moon was all aglow, and heaven was in your eyes. The night that you told me those little white lies, the stars all seemed to know that you didn't mean all those sighs. The night that you told me those little white lies, I tried, but there's no forgetting when evening appears. I sigh, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. The devil was in your heart, but heaven was in your eyes. The night that you told me those little white lies. That you told me those little white lies. I tried, but there's no forgetting when evening appears. I sighed, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. And the devil was in your heart, but heaven was in your eyes. That night that you told me
Little White Lies.
Another awesome tune.
Yeah. Old.
That's old stuff.
Old yeah. recording.
With the big band in the back. Whew. So where do you want to go in it from the game? More Frank trivia?
Well, I'm not going to give it all to you at once. Let's talk about some of his movies.
Movies.
He's Frank was... a lot of movies.
Frank actually...
He's probably had as many or more movies than he had albums. He had a lot.
He had a lot, for sure. And actually, it was Frank getting into the movies that... Well, there was a period after he went and did his solo deal with the Mafia or whatever happened there. There was a period there where his success declined. So he was... I don't know if people knew about the Mafia thing or what it was, or he was just a bad guy or whatever the deal was. But it wasn't until he won a Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in the movie From Here to Eternity. Mm-hmm. And I think that was 1952, maybe 51. I'm not sure. But that was the thing that really boosted his career beyond what it ever was before with Tommy Dorsey and Harry James.
Oh, 1953, From Here to Eternity.
1953. There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and by the way, that story about the mob buying off his contract—that was that's actually a plot line within The Godfather, mm-hmm. if you remember. Mm-hmm. So that's where that came from. I'm trying to think who directed that or even wrote that.
Here's a little piece of trivia for you. His last movie was Cannonball Run 2, 1984.
Cannonball Run 2. That's a bad movie to be in. I think it was just everybody like him was in there, all these crazy actors.
Four for Texas, 1963. With the Three Stooges were in that.
In what?
Four for Texas.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cannonball Run.
For you.
Yeah, and Cannonball Run was another one of those movies. Oh, Cannonball Run 2 especially.
It had a bunch of...
Yeah, like Mad World.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Was he in Mad World? No.
I don't think
Mad,
so.
Mad World.
I think he was touring at that time or something. He was busy.
Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, that was a critically acclaimed movie, Manchurian Candidate, and I don't think he was even up for an award, but for whatever year that was, 62, 63, it was one of the big movies that year, and it was critically acclaimed just for the acting and the writing of the movie. It was a good movie.
Ocean's 11, the original Ocean's 11.
The original, yeah. He was in that. He played the part of George Clooney, didn't he?
Robin in the Seven Hoods?
Or was he Brad Pitt? I think he might have been Brad Pitt.
I'm looking for something that is real recognizable. But there's a lot of movies like High Society.
Yep.
An old movie from the 50s.
Is it from the 50s? Yeah.
High Society, 1956, actually.
Huh, okay.
And what else? First Deadly Sin, 1980. If you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not. Why don't we play another Frank song?
All right.
Okay.
Oh, goody, goody.
So you met someone who sets you back on your heels. Goody, goody, you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody, you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces. Now how do you do? Hey, you lie awake just singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody, goody for him, goody, goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, 'cause you got yours. You gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces. Yeah, how do you do? So you lie awake just to singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, so you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody, goody for him, lots of goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you. I hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you.
All right, if you'll just give us 5 minutes more, we'll listen to 5 minutes more from Sinatra.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more. Only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday date. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Saturday date. And don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more.
Let me stay. Let me stay. Stay in your arms.
All right, let's talk about the Rat Pack.
What is the Rat Pack?
The Rat Pack was a group of actors originally centered on Humphrey Bogart in the mid-1960s. It was the name used by the press and the general public to refer to a later variation of the group after Bogart's death that called itself The Summit or The Clan, featuring Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, and Joey Bishop. And they appeared together on stage and in films in the early 1960s, including the movies Ocean's 11, Sergeant's 3, and Robin and the Seven Hoods. In the last film, Bing Crosby replaced Lawford. Sinatra, Martin, and Davis were regarded as the group's lead members. But there was also somebody else that was included in there. A little trivia for you.
In the Rat Pack?
A woman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who would it be?
It was the McLean chick. What was her name?
Shirley?
Yeah.
So she was the chick who hung out with these guys.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was having sex with any of these guys?
I don't know. I couldn't speculate.
You could speculate. Well, I was just wondering if you had seen any video or just how they interacted with each other. And could it be that they were...
Yeah, I'm not sure. The 1960s version of the group included Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Joey Bishop, Corbett Monica. I don't really know who, Peter Lawford, and for a brief stint, Norman Fell. But then he got back up again and joined the Marilyn Monroe, Angie Dickinson, Juliet Prowse.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Of course, Shirley MacLaine were often referred to as the Rat Pack mascots.
Oh, mascots. There mm-hmm. we go. Otherwise known as groupies.
Yeah.
That's so, what I thought.
Who knows what happened?
Angie Dickinson. She was one of the chicks?
Angie Dickinson, yeah. Remember her?
Yeah, she was like a bombshell, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Blonde bombshell. Yeah,
what was that big movie for her? I can't remember the name. Dressed to Kill?
I have no
Angie
idea.
Angie Dickinson? Yeah, I think so.
Peter
Lawford was a brother-in-law of President John F. Kennedy.
Brother-in-law. Yeah, I think I knew that. Yeah. And he was probably the least known. Well, did he sing?
Dubbed brother.
He didn't sing, did he?
Brother-in-law Lawford. That's what Sinatra used to call him. Anyway, yeah.
He didn't sing, though. Peter Lawford didn't sing.
Oh, no. He was an actor, right?
He was an actor. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Whereas Joey Bishop never acted.
I don't know.
He was probably in Cannonball Run 2 as well.
You mean also or Cannonball Run 2?
Also. Oh,
okay.
And I always remember he was on The Tonight Show just constantly. So he was probably one of those Vegas dudes, right? Oh, yeah. You're going to be playing a weekend run at the Desert Inn. And do you remember that? At the end of the show,
Joey
Bishop's playing, here, there, and everywhere. They used to do that a lot. That was kind of interesting that they would actually give dates of people who were performing on The Tonight Show. I thought, anyway.
Now, here's a song that was from the Cycles album. I don't remember where I got the Cycles album back in the day, the actual 12-inch
vinyl.
Record. Vinyl, and it was all scratched up pretty bad, but me and my buddy Mark, who played bass in Wicked Angel, we used to listen to this album all the time, man, and it was like just scratched up, but we listened to it on an old record player at home, and this is one of my favorite tunes from this time, and pretty much from all time, Rain in My Heart, Sinatra.
My eyes are dry, my love. Since you've been gone, I haven't shed a tear. I'll never cry, my love, though every day seems like 100 years. For I'm just a fool who clings to his pride. But when I'm alone, I can hear the sound of rain in my heart, of the tears that I hide, and it tears me apart, 'cause I keep them inside. I keep
I was a toy, only a game to you. How could you go, my love, without a thought of what I'm going through? How can I forget I still love you so? It echoes each time that I hear the sound of rain in my heart from the tears that I hide. Though it tears me apart, I still keep them inside. But I can't escape from the sound of the rain.
Can't get enough of that.
Rain in my heart.
Yep.
That sounds like a blues tune, if you ask me. It's not a very happy song. Rain in my heart.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of, you can make it into one pretty easily, probably, because it's got that sort of that, swing, and but that feel to it.
Sure.
Boom-tat, boom-doom, doom-tat. You know what I mean? Kind of thing?
Doom-doom-doom-tat.
Kind of like a, you know.
One
six,
of those
6-8 thing or something.
6-8. Yeah. There's some crazy time. It's interesting that he crossed a lot of genres. Like you say, he was in his early career, he was like a crooner kind of guy. He was a lot of the sure they call him Bobby Sock.
And he sure
idols.
Was ladies, man. He got around.
Do you think
he was married to Mia Farrow?
Yeah. Yeah, Mia Farrow.
And I want to say he was married to Nancy Sinatra as well.
That's his first wife.
Which is also his daughter's name. Yeah.
And do they call daughters Nancy Jr.?
Yeah, it's Nancy Jr.
Do they?
No.
I don't know, because there's Frank Jr.
There is Frank Jr. too, yeah, right.
There's Frank Jr.
And Frank Jr. He conducted his orchestra for a while too, Frank's.
In the latter years of Frank's career. Yeah, I think
and
I remember
that. And he tried
a
career of his own, too, actually. It wasn't bad, but I mean, he's no Frank Sinatra, that's for sure.
Right.
But he sang, too, like, you know.
So there was Nancy, Frank Jr., and Tina with his first wife. And then he was married three more times after that. Once to Ava Gardner for 6 years.
Oh, right, yeah, Ava.
Another blonde bombshell type chick, Mia Farrow. And finally to Barbara Marx, which was...
Related to the Marx family?
No, I wanted to say it was, but I couldn't think of something funny to say. In a 2013 Vanity Fair article, Mia Farrow claimed that Sinatra may be the father of her son, Ronan Farrow, but she did not produce and since has not produced any DNA to support that.
Well, we'd know by the look of him. Let's find him and take a look.
Let's take a look at the guy. I think any kid of Frank Sinatra's is going to be easy to spot, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Is there anything else about Frank you want to talk about?
Well, we're just about out of time, so...
I know. We played a lot of Frank music.
A lot of Frank music, and we should probably let folks know what we're going to talk about next week on the show. Unless you're going away on vacation again.
Yep, I'm going out of town.
Oh, are you?
See you later! Nice talking to you. Come back. Well, even if I am going out of town, when I went out of town last time, we told the people that we were doing a Frank show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We were going to do a show while you were gone, but... You must have been pretty busy out there.
I was busy. I was busy.
You did a lot. Packed a lot in there, didn't you?
Tried to.
Traveled around a bit out there and stuff.
Yeah. And cool. I packed a lot in there,
too. I didn't get to do a lot of that when I was there.
No. Well, you... Yeah.
So.
You should get back out there again.
Bus ride.
Bus ride to the coast.
It was cool, though, actually.
There's the ocean. I'll turn around now.
There's Alcatraz and the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm good. See ya.
Those are two big things to see.
Yeah, it was cool. I actually had my iPad out with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background on Skype talking to Lana. It's kind of neat. On a nice sunny day, actually.
Perfect.
The only day that there was actually sun out
for any And you're getting Wi-Fi from where?
That's a good question.
It's San Francisco.
Oh, I think I had bought some Wi-Fi. Oh, okay. You know, like AT&T thing for my iPad.
Sure.
Pretty sure that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something you can do easily and affordably, I guess.
So what are we talking about on the show next week?
I don't know. We can talk about a city. We can talk about a genre. We did a country and western show very recently. So maybe there's something else that you'd like to talk about.
Well, I don't know.
Let's talk about music from San Francisco.
Music from San Francisco?
Since we were just talking about it.
Okay. That's pretty good. I like that.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, bands. We can do one of those since Boston or something. What do
Boston
we do?
Was the
do
first one, yeah, and that's probably
the only one.
I think so. Did we talk about something else? I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did either. That's pretty good. I'd like to do a British music show at some point, like you know, bands from the UK.
Well, that'd be cool. That falls under this category, doesn't it?
What?
This city thing?
But not San Francisco.
Yeah. Would you rather do that at some point?
We do that later, but that'd be a cool one.
It will be a very cool one. Bands came out of that might have to be a two-parter, too.
Yeah, maybe. Might have to be one of those ones that the music just runs straight through the whole thing.
You love stuff that is so crazy. Yeah,
when do we do that for the TV theme show, remember?
TV theme show.
Where we played the Facts of Life theme that you loved so.
And the Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, did we play that?
Yes, we did, absolutely.
Wait, you didn't like that one?
Yeah, I love that. But to wrap up with Frank, he died in, do you remember the year?
Oh, 1995 or 6?
Eight.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it was 96. I wanted to go see him at the Fox and didn't.
The Fox in Detroit, yes. You know how old he was?
90 or 92 or something.
82.
Yeah, 82.
Because he was born in 1915. It was kind of like, are you paying attention kind of question.
Yeah, and then certainly not.
He died of a?
Heart attack.
Very good.
The A gave it away.
Aneurysm. Stroke.
No, it wouldn't be. You wouldn't have said A, aneurysm.
No, you wouldn't. He suffered from ill health for the last few years of his life and had been frequently hospitalized for heart and breathing problems. He smoked, right?
I think he's collapsed on stage here and there a little bit near the end, too, and it was getting hard for him to remember his lyrics. I don't know if he used teleprompters earlier on, but he was using them then.
Who doesn't use that?
Not me. I don't need a teleprompter.
I use
an iPad. Yeah, of course I do.
Of course I do.
My memory is
You are in good 20. Company, sir. Frank Sinatra and,
me and Sinatra.
Big JD.
Yeah. Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
That's pretty good. Frank was such a vocal acrobat at times.
Oh, and that's something we got to... Yeah, an acrobat. His phrasing was really wacky.
Yeah, he's saying off the beat.
Yeah.
Like, more behind it than
like very difficult to...
Yeah, don't listen to the singer if you're in the band. Don't go by what he's singing.
Yeah, no, it was... Yeah. And why... I don't really know any reason for him doing that. If that was a...
Well, it's from
style
his jazz.
Thing, or is it just like, you know...
It's from his jazz upbringing.
It's pretty amazing, though.
That he could
be that out of whack on some songs. Or like,
yeah.
That didn't seem to make sense.
But didn't seem to make sense. It's like, how's he going to fit all those words? Oh, look at that. It was perfect.
But he was great, man. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And he was a big influence for a lot of people who came after him, too, I believe.
I think Frank Sinatra show and Elvis show are going to be like the two biggest guys you could do. They were kind of kings of their era, right?
They sure were, for sure.
I mean, Presley was kind of through that time, too. And we didn't really talk about any of their interaction together, but because they were both... You know,
Vegas dudes.
Kings through that time together, but they didn't really interact together. That's same as Beatles and Elvis too. Like they didn't really, you know what I mean?
No, they did. They only met once.
Yeah. But it was also very different music. All of them kind of.
Well, obviously that was the thing, right? That was the thing that,
that's what
kept them
all
apart.
Separated, I guess.
Yeah. So it was good that they weren't actually competing, but on some level, I'm sure the record companies thought they were competing.
And so that concludes the Frank Sinatra show. And next week is...
we're going to talk about music from the city that I just visited.
Yep.
Santa Rosa, California. No. San Francisco.
Okay.
City by the Bay. City of Lights. The place where you have to wear flowers in your hair when you go there.
Then did you?
Flowers, yeah, for sure.
Of course. And the last song by Frank Sinatra we're going to leave everybody with is?
Mac the Knife, with a little bit of help from Mr. Sammy Davis Jr. Live.
No, it's not live.
It isn't live?
No, it's not live.
Oh, it's a studio version.
It is, yeah.
Okay, but it was live in the studio.
Yeah, I'm sure
whatever.
It was.
Whatever. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We're going to see you next week.
See ya.
Shows him pearly white, just a jackknife has Mac Heath's deer, and he keeps it way out of sight.
When that shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows they begin to spread. Fancy white gloves has Mac Heath, dear. So there's never, never a trace of red.
On the sidewalk, one Sunday morning,
lies a body oozing life.
Someone sneaking round that corner. Could that someone perhaps perchance be Mac the Knife?
From a tugboat on the river going slow,
a cement bag is dropping down.
You know that cement is for the weight, dear.
You can make a large bet that bum's in town.
Yeah, he's in town.
My man Louis Miller,
he split the scene, babe,
after drawing out all the bread from his stash.
Now Mac, he spends like a sailor. Do you suppose this guy, he did something rash?
Old Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, Bobby Darin, they did this song nice. Lady Ella too, they all sang it with so much feeling. That old Blue Eyes, he ain't gonna add anything new.
Oh yes you do.
But with this big fat band jumping behind me, swinging hard, Jack.
That's Jimmy Frank.
I know I can't lose when I tell you all about Mac the Knife, baby. It's an offer you can never refuse.
We got Patrick Williams,
Bill Miller playing that piano, and this wonderful great big band bringing up the rear. All these bad cats in this band now, they make the greatest sound you ever gonna hear. Oh, Suki Tawdry.
Oh, Suki Tawdry.
Jenny Diver.
Jenny Diver.
Polly Beecher.
I know her well. Miss Lulu Brown. Hear the line form on the right there.
Now that Mackie.
Oh, Mackie.
Yeah, that bum is back.
Oh, that bum, he's back.
And I'm gonna tell you what I think that you should do.
What should I do?
You better lock your door and call the law,
because Mackie,
he's come back to town.
Get under the bed, high. Go to the
look out,
the
Mackie.
What are he gonna get you?
Be sure to
to join us here next week for more Big J.D. and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big J.D. and Lippo Facebook page.